the golden altar, and thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 1. Our Lord's image is embodied in every part of the tabernacle. The whole is God revealing himself in a marvelous type, and all with a view to man's entering in to meet him there. It represents God's system of grace and glory with which he dwells among his redeemed people. This is clearly seen now in the golden incense altar, which filled the whole house of God with a sweet and delightful fragrance. It is doubtless called the golden altar to distinguish it from the brazen altar in the outside court, the covering of which was brass. It was called the altar of incense, as indicating its usage. The altar of incense had a variety of spices for incense, and the incense removed all ill smells from the sanctuary. But chiefly, it denoted the acceptableness of the service of the sanctuary to God. Its parts, as all other furniture, were wood and gold, pointing to our Lord's human and divine natures. The wood represented his human nature, which wood, though it sprung out of the earth, was not common, but choice and excellent, and very strong, very durable, and incorruptible. And so our Lord, though he was man, made of an earthly woman in his human nature, is the chiefest of 10,000, excellent as the cedars, the man of God's right hand. And though he died in that human nature, he saw no corruption, and he now lives and lives forevermore. And it is in that human nature that he acts as our mediator and intercedes for his people and offers up their prayers perfumed with the sweet incense of his own mediation and of the merits of his own atoning sacrifice, to which all this altar had great respect. Then the wood was overlaid with gold, and therefore it is often called the golden altar, as you see in Numbers chapter 4 verse 11 and Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3. The gold figures his deity. It is said that his head is as most fine gold. And he is, in his divine nature, the form of God, the brightness of his glory, and possessed of the same perfections. It points to the gold. It points to the glorification of his human nature in heaven, where he is now highly exalted, and the preciousness of his intercession, which is always powerful and prevalent, and of the duration of that intercession, which is forever and ever. He is God in Godhood's greatness, and man in humanity's low estate. He has glory to sit on Jehovah's throne, but humility to come and tabernacle with men. Only such a God-man can redeem a sinner's soul. The altar was square, four square, which denotes the solidity and the perfection and the extension or the extensiveness of our Lord's priesthood, it being unchangeable, firm, and lasting forever and forever. His intercession as high priest, and not his sacrifice only, is made for all the people of God in all places and in all ages and for all things on their behalf, both for this life and that which is to come. The altar then was square, full of meaning, and as was the atoning brazen altar. It shows the strength of the Lord Jesus, which cannot fail. All the work he does is based on Jehovah's strength. There is the same representation to every quarter of the globe. The crown upon the altar indicates our Lord's royal majesty, as it is written of him, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. He who was once so scorned by men on earth wears the heavenly diadem of redemptive glory. The horns of the altar speak again of authority and power. None can stand before him. None can prevail against it. There were sort of, these horns were sort of spires at the four corners of the altar. They were there for decoration and for ornament, and denoted not only authority and power, but also denoted the honor and glory of our Lord, and his ability to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him and lay hold of the horns of the altar. The rings were for transportation, and this shows how his great name will be carried to every place of human habitation, to desert lands, to prison cells, to furnaces of affliction, to the hovels of the poor, to the palace of kings. No place can shut him out. These rings also signify that our Lord Jesus Christ never leaves his people. When they are in the wilderness, he is with them there, interceding for them, providing all things necessary for their good and their comfort and their safety and their protection. The altar was placed before the veil, evidently nearest to the most holy place. The main use was to receive and burn the sacred incense, composed of four chief spices in equal proportions and perfectly blended. The incense was offered night and morning and burned by coals taken off the atoning brazen altar. Thus touched, the sweet fragrance of the incense ascended. It was a fragrance offered within the sanctuary, but we see how atonement and worship are linked together. Thus we are taught the offering of acceptable praise. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, said the psalmist in Psalm 141 and verse 2. It sets forth first the intercession of our great high priest, Jesus the Son of God. We must never forget that is intercessions on our behalf, receive their life and vigor and acceptance from his own blood atoning sacrifice. His prevailing intercession on our behalf rests upon his death on the cross, in which justice was satisfied, the law fulfilled, the curse endured, and the covenant discharged. The only direct allusion to the Day of Atonement in Exodus is in this portion, which describes the incense altar. The blood of the brazen altar was brought and sprinkled upon the golden horns of this altar. God's thought in this was to have a heavenly priesthood to approach him in the holiest of all. It is the value of that atoning blood which secures the entrance of believers into God's holy presence and our acceptance by him. It is an amazing truth that believers can now enter in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet too many are content, it would seem, to stand only at the atoning altar for sins forgiveness, but who never seem to enter within the veil to a life of intercession in association with our exalted and heavenly Lord. The ingredients of the incense are named in Exodus chapter 30 and verse 34. The stacte suggests the outflow of our Lord's life on earth. The onica, his being crushed in death. The galbanum, his strength of determination to carry it all to completion. And the frankincense, his consecrated lordship over all. There is a word of warning attached to all this. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from the people. Verse 38. None were to profane this holy type. None were to trifle with the grand reality. None were to rob the Lord of what is his for his own glory. Listen kindly to the words of Mr. A.P. Cecil. Our great high priest is sitting at God's right hand above, for us his hands uplifting in sympathy and love, whilst here below, in weakness, we onward speed our way, in sorrow oft and sickness, we sigh and groan and pray. Through manifold temptation, my soul holds on its course. Christ's mighty intercession alone is my resource. My gracious high priest's pleadings, who on the cross did bleed, bring down God's grace and blessings. Help in each hour of need. O Jesus, blessed Saviour, we hope to see thee soon, who once on earth did suffer, who soon for us will come. 'Twas God's most gracious favour that gave his Son to die, to live our intercessor, to plead for us on high. How true. Amen and amen.